How many like gifts?
Yes.
You like to give gifts?
Yes.
You like to receive gifts?
Yes.
Which do you like better? It got quiet in here. The perfect gift. What would make just the perfect gift for you this morning? What would you like to find in that gift box under the tree or at your home this morning? What would you like to get? We all like to get gifts. We like to receive gifts. And honestly, part of that whole process is we love it when the people that we give a gift to love and receive it. Don't you? Have you ever seen that commercial? I mean, remember that commercial of the Christmas tie that was given to the father, and he goes, he opens it up, sees it, and he goes, "Oh yes, thank you very much." That probably wasn't a real exciting tie that person received, but how many enjoy the gift-giving process? You know, we think about in our Christmas box, some people have perfect gifts. And this morning, we're going to talk about the greatest story ever told, and He is the greatest gift of all, is He not? His name is Jesus. But what's in your perfect gift box this morning? How many received maybe a pet when you were a child, a little dog or a cat? You ever receive anything like that? No show of hands? One, Donna. Two, Donna. I mean, what you've always wanted, something that'll look at you and then pee right in your hands. That's what you want. How about, but they bring great companionship. But there are other gifts, you know, a horse. I was going to put a big red Ferrari on there, but I didn't want to seem too much like the world this morning. Jewelry, or in my case, more and more guitars. My wife gave me a wonderful guitar. I love playing the guitar. And then we have, a gift house. Some people get houses for Christmas. And how many just like to receive a wad of money? Come on, let's see the hands. Yeah, okay. Or the gift of travel. Or maybe you got a baby for Christmas. We have some relatives of Sherry's with us. Oh, yeah, and there's a baby being born. So, Charlie and Laura, congratulations. When do you do, Laura? Oh, sorry. You're a grandchild. A great grandchild. There you go. I think it's wonderful. So you take a look at the gifts, and down here at the bottom, she didn't know I was going to bring her old picture out, but this is Pastor Sherry practicing for the bling. And the other one was her just a little bit older, already playing Mrs. Christmas, right? What would you like to find in your box this morning? What's your desire? What's your perfect gift? What's really interesting, there are studies about the kind of gifts people like to receive. And this was from last year, Christmas Gifts 2017, but it's still the same for 2018. Fully 61% of people who answered a survey said they want to get a gift card. A gift card for Christmas, or gift giving that enables them. That's 12 years in a row that's the statistic people want to do. They want a gift card, and that's the most popular item. And when you give, how many understand there's positive psychological benefits to gift giving? Talking just about a few of them, when you give, your voice lowers. I'm sorry, my voice still changing. But when you give, it lowers your blood pressure, literally. There's statistics, there's studies that have shown your blood pressure lowers, your self-esteem is increased, and you have less depression, and you have lower stress levels, longer life, and greater happiness when you give. Isn't it interesting? Because what's released, the bottom line of the study shows that what is released when you give and you're into the experience of thinking about the person, thinking about the gift, giving the gift, hoping they love the gift, it releases endorphins, those fun little fins that swim around in us and cause our mood to elevate, and it releases good chemicals. In fact, oxytocin, a compassion and bonding chemical that's released when people bond together, and there's dopamine, a feel-good chemical, and it's every bit as addictive as drug taking. And so when people are in depression, it's not just an activity to give them, but one of the things you can encourage people to do is begin to move into other people's lives, consider a gift or give a card or something, because their mood begins to elevate as they consider someone besides their own heartache. A lot of people have a lot of heartache. We're all image bearers. We've all been scarred and marred, and thanks to Adam and Eve, the sin nature passing along in the Garden of Eden. But how many know Jesus delights in restoration? And so we are so glad for His restoration, but we give out to other people. Now, why is this important? Because giving originates in the heart of God. I said giving originates in the heart of God. And so when we are engaged in giving, we are more like God. We are more like Him. You express Him. You express His heart. Let's unwrap God's big idea. What is God's big idea? Read John 3:16 with me, would you please, this morning? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So a few points I just want to unpack. I want to unwrap just a couple of points real quickly from this. Number one, it's God's idea. It's God who initiates. God is moving toward you even right now. Come on, I said God is moving toward you right now. And some of you maybe didn't sleep so well last night, and maybe there's some heartache or some concern, some frustration in your soul. Or maybe as you become a part of those who get a little older, there are a few aches and pains, and we get to believe God for healing power. Somebody say amen. Amen. But God doesn't abandon you in your time of need. We have a few people here who have lost spouses in the last couple of years. Jesus did not abandon you. He did not shut His eyes. He did not move His heart away. He did not go a distance away and say, I'm not interested. He loves you. He cares. He initiates. I want you to say with me, God is moving toward me right now. Sometimes He waits for us to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. Take over. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to our Lord Jesus, who loves you so much, I urge you, let this be the day that you do this. Then Christmas really becomes something meaningful, because He's moving toward you. And He's got perfect timing. Don't you wish His timing was your timing? Anybody, can you be honest? Anybody in this room ever throw a temper tantrum that God didn't do things the way you wanted and your timing? Come on, anybody? Okay, about 5 or 10 of us. The rest of you can come up and finish the message. God initiates. We're called to be like Him. We're called, now listen, to be like Him. For God so loved the world. You can put your name in there. For Kevin needs to so love people that He moves toward them with the presence and love of the Father. If we're going to be like God, how many want to be like God? Yes. Secondly, show it. God so loved, how do you know? Because He gave. God so loved that He gave. It's not hidden. It's not quiet. It's not reserved. Love is tangible. You can see it. You can receive it. You have the benefits of it. You have the encouragement of it. You put effort into considering how to bless that person. What can I do for that person? You know, 1 John tells us in a couple of places in chapter 4, God is love. God is love. In verse 19, we quoted the scripture already this morning. We love Him because He first loved us. He's the one who showed love first, tangibly. Number 3, God gives love. The best. The best. He didn't hold back. He didn't say, I'll do another option. I'll do another alternative. He said, this is My Son, the very best. I am giving the best that I have. His name is Jesus, His own Son. Our life, our love, our labors, We need to be able to give the best, don't we? Just like God. And then God gives with purpose. God so loved the world that he gave, who can tell me why? What's the rest of it say? His only son, why? So that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a purpose to his gifting. There's a purpose for us this morning. Remember, we're talking this morning about he's the greatest story ever told. Let's talk about the greatest story. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now, I'm going to only put a few of those verses up here, but if you have it in your own Bible, if you have your phone with you this morning, your tablet, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading from the New King James. I'm going to read basically the Christmas story from there, and I'm going to ask you to hang in for a bit of a longer section of Scripture. How many know it's not only not a sin, but it's a great thing to read the Word of God in church? We need the Word of God. So let's listen to what the Word of God says. And it came to pass in those days, verse 1 of chapter 2, that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And don't kid yourselves, folks, that was no easy transitionary time. And remember, what condition was Mary in? On board Camelback? Must not have been a comfortable ride, do you think? Joseph, verse 4, went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with who?
Mary,
his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Most commentaries will agree. I mean, they didn't have Holiday Inns back there at this time. They were in the city. They were being taxed. Every room, guest rooms typically in the home would have a potential guest room. And they were all full. But they were welcome to stay at someone's basically carved out cave. There were troughs, feeding troughs around the rim of the cave, carved out of the rock, and that's most likely the condition or the status of the room where Jesus was born. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Would you be? Come on, church. You get this light show in the sky, an angelic being comes up, he shows up. You don't know if you're going to live or die, but the comfort of those words, fear not. The problem is, even nowadays, we understand there's an awesome power with our mighty God, and we do need to fear and respect the power of God. We need to understand that he judges sin and deals with sin. We need to know there's a heaven and there's a hell. But when we walk bound in legalism and we don't appreciate the grace of God in our lives, we teach people too often how to be terrified of God. You're not good enough, so you don't dare approach him. How many understand it's not about that at all? Yes, he's awesome in power. Yes, we fear him. But he says, "Don't be afraid. I've got great news for you." And that's the news we get to deliver to other people. Have another party on your block. And if there's no power outage, just shut the lights out, but bring candles. No all dark parties there. But reach out to your neighbors and bring them the good news so they understand this really is the greatest story of all. The scripture goes on. Then an angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Doesn't sound like a downer, does it?
No.
Which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And this will be the sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, I love it. God does what he wants, when he wants, and when he's ready to do it, it's suddenly. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us." Can you imagine the buzz of electricity? What do you think the first words were? "Whoa, dude, what did we eat last night?" Now, can you imagine that buzz of excitement? And what was this all about? And they turn to each other and they say, "Come on, let's go find what he's talking about." I love the hunger of the shepherds right here. Come on, let's get up. Let's change our circumstance. Let's go find Jesus. You're the ones who are saying, "Come on, let's get up. Let's go to church. I want to find Jesus. I want to hear him. I want to see him. I want my life to be transformed. Come on, let's go be with Jesus and be with God's people." That's what the shepherd's spirit was. That was their attitude. "Let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So they came with haste and with hunger. And what happened? They found him. They found him. When you come with hunger in your spirit, you find him. He wants to be found by us. And they, now when they had seen him, verse 17, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Powerful. How do they respond? Come on, church, talk to me this morning. How did they respond?
They went.
They did. They saw. They met him. They found him. They left and told everybody about all the things that had happened. What a powerful God. So what's now our response? We got to receive the gift. Receive the gift in a couple of days. You're probably going to be giving some gifts to one another. Hopefully, none of us will turn to each other and say, "No thanks, don't want it." We will say, "No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's really sweet. That's kind. More." No. Okay, no. Just checking to see if you were listening. It's powerful. Later, Mary, Joseph, the child Jesus, the young child now, are in a house in Bethlehem, and wise men come from far. They got up. They went to go see this child. You get up. You come to see this Savior. And they found him. They brought frankincense and myrrh and gold, gifts for a king. And that was undoubtedly how they supported themselves as they transported to Egypt and then back into Nazareth and on into the life that he lived. But these were gifts fit for a king. But they followed his star. They were hungry. They got up. They moved and changed their situation so they could see Jesus. Herod destroyed the kids from 2 years of age and under because he was so angry at a potential contrary person to his throne. But Jesus wasn't destroyed. God blessed him and protected him, and he grew to be the man, the carpenter. By the way, that word carpenter means an artisan, one who worked with wood, with stone, with metal, with all of those kinds of things. There's mostly wood mostly stone in Israel. There isn't a whole lot of tree and a lot of wood working, but we get this romanticized idea of what it's like. But Jesus had the ability to work with all of those things. But what does that mean? He could work with all those things in the same way this fantastic Son of God works with each one of us. Everybody in this room had a different background. Remember, you've all got a story. You're an image bearer. Some of you might have sat at a desk for your career. Others of you worked outside. Some of you drove taxis for a living. It doesn't make any difference. He knows how to relate with and work with every single one of us. And then he went to the cross for your sins and mine. He was beaten. And from a cross he said, "Father, forgive him. Forgive them." And he died. And 3 days later, he rose again. Come on, I said 3 days later, he rose again. The Christmas message is not just the babe in the manger. The Christmas message is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Son of God came as a baby, became the man who bore our sins, sicknesses and sorrows, our griefs, all of that heartache, and then he died and rose again. And he's extending his hands to you right now, this morning. He's moving toward you and me. A question for you. What was one of the final proofs that it was Jesus at his resurrection? The scars. They knew him by the scars. You understand, don't you, that when God moved in power and raised him from the dead, and death no longer had any grip upon this powerful Son of God, don't you understand along with me, we know that he could have removed the scars. He didn't have to be raised again with scars. But it was one of the ways they knew him. And it's one of the ways he says to you and to me right now, as scarred image bearers, I've got you in the grip of my hands. I know how to heal you. I know how to minister to you. I know you in the night seasons. I know you when you're lonely. I know you when you're happy, glad, or mad. I'm here. It's me. And these scars, that's proof. I take your scars. He takes our scars upon himself. So what do we do now? We receive the gift. Did you know the biggest waste happens every single year? There are $130 probably billion dollars spent for gift cards. Did you know that fully $1 billion in gift cards go unused every single year? $1 billion. Never used, living in a purse or a pocket. Or what's really silly is we'll take the gift cards and we'll put them away in a safe place because we don't want anybody to steal them. Amen. But we ain't going to use them. But we don't use them. Do you know the reality is if you don't use them, you haven't received them? They might still sit there. Of course, you know the old days, don't you? It would whittle down to nothing by the time you finally got around to using it. There are still some that work their way down, but I think in the state of Washington, they passed a law that they couldn't do it that way. But nevertheless, the point is, you guys, if we don't use it, we didn't really receive it. I know I might just be rehearsing this morning. I think it's important to us to remember why we first fell in love with Jesus and who he is. And what he can do, because he proved he first loved us. Haven't told this story in many, many years, but I think it's so profound. A kind, decent, moral man who wanted nothing to do with church. He was generous with his family, he was upright in his dealings with others, but he just couldn't bring himself to believe this incarnation stuff, this Jesus who came as a man. He said, I'm really sorry on Christmas Eve, he said to his wife. I'm really sorry. I just can't do this, so I won't be going to service with you tonight. And sadly, she packed the kids up and off to midnight mass. They went. Shortly after they left, he sat down in his favorite chair and pulled out his newspaper, and he began to read by the fire. I'm just going to enjoy this night here. And all of a sudden, thump. And then another thump. And then still another thump. And he got up and he walked to the window because something was banging against the window. And by the way, a snowstorm had started. And by this time, he had some concern for his wife and children because it was literally a blizzard outside and continually thump and thump. And he went and looked outside and he realized it was a flock of birds. So confused by the snowstorm, they were trying to get inside his picture window to his warm house and his lights. He didn't know what to do. But he looked over at his barn. And he thought, you know, if I can just get over there and open that and turn the lights on, I'll just leave the door open so they can come in. That flock of birds will be safe. That's what they'll do. That's what I'll do. So he quickly puts on his coat and he puts on his boots and he tramples through the deepening snow to the barn. He throws the doors open wide and he flips on the lights and not a bird comes in. Not one. And he stops and he thinks, okay, what I'll do is I'll go back to the house and I'll get some breadcrumbs and I'll just leave a trail of breadcrumbs over to the barn because I know they'll follow me for sure. Just like guys, we follow food. Anyway, breadcrumbs. And he did that. And they didn't follow him. And he stopped and he thought, how am I going to save this flock of birds? But he realized they're afraid of him. They were terrified of this guy. And of these birds. I'm strange and I'm a terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know they could trust me. That I'm not trying to hurt them, that I want to help them. But how? Because no matter what I do, they're frightened even more. And they're confused. And they won't follow. And they won't shoo away. They're just bouncing against my window. Then he stopped and goes, you know, if only I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language. And then I could tell them, you don't have to be afraid. And I could show them there's a safe place. There's a warm place here. And I really care. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. And right at that moment, the church bells began to ring. And he realized, for the first time in his life, the meaning of the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came as a baby in a manger, as an expression of the love of your Father God and mine, who came just like you and me. Yeah. And the truth is, the Bible says he came while we were yet enemies because he wanted to show us, I love you and I care. Mm-hmm. And you're not alone. And I'll not only warm you up, I'll get you out of the blizzard and I'll help you continue to live. And with Jesus, I'll help you live better than you ever thought you could by forgiving your sins and redeeming your soul and helping you know and discover a relationship with a Father in heaven. For God so loved the world, come on church, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, these last few weeks, we've talked about, this is my story. Every image bearer has a story. Your story is important. Your brokenness, your triumphs, your story is important. You're important. But then we moved on to, this is our story. As we are saved and redeemed by grace, we come into the body of Christ because God is a relational God and he gathers us around as a family. And then we look at, this is God's story, and this is part of it, and this is it, because Jesus, he's the greatest story ever told. Would you stand with me, church? Musicians, if you'll come. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. What we want to say to everyone here, thank you for being here, and we pray you have an absolutely fantastic Christmas together. Aren't you glad Jesus is the greatest story of all? Joy, and to celebrate the love of God demonstrated by the grace of Jesus Christ. We give you our love and adoration, Lord. The Bible says, for unto us A child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And one more real quickly. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Bless each one now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a wonderful time. Be released in the Lord. Amen.